Welcome to Woman of Grace. I'd like to thank those of you who are tuning in with me today. You know, Women of Grace is a title that God has placed on my heart to use for this station because in my heart, grace is above all things. You know, there is nothing about the grace of God that just doesn't reach out and grab my attention. And I pray that as you're listening in today, it will have the same effect on you. But I'd like to start out and, you know, with a prayer before I get into the word God has laid out for us. So if you will just pause with me for a moment, and I'll say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, I welcome you in, and I ask, Lord God, that your words spoken through me today will touch hearts of many. And I pray, Lord God, that they hear your voice and not mine, Father God. I ask, Lord, that your grace just be poured out upon every listener and that their hearts be lifted up so that your grace, Lord God, can change their lives forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Okay, we'll get into the Word. But today's message, it may be a little bit longer than previous ones, so if you will just hang in there with open hearts and open ears, and let's just receive what God has to say to us today. So, but as we get started, we're going to be reading to begin with. We're going to start reading out in Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. But I'm going to back up a few verses before I get started on that scripture. So we'll start off actually into 42:23-25. So if you have your Bibles and want to follow along with me, feel free to. But as I read in 42:23, Isaiah 42:23. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear from the time to come? Who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient to his laws. Therefore he has poured on him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle. It has set him on fire all around, yet he did not know. It had burned him, yet he did not take it to heart. You know, in them few verses right there, saying 23, you know, it says who will have ear, you know, to hear what God has said. And, you know, the question is asking that people realize the great need of a salvation. You know, who is going to have ear to hear what God has to say about, you know, the salvation? And are they going to, you know, be prepared? Are they going to prepare themselves for this great deliverance that is to come? And, you know, 24, who you know, gave us over for plunder and the robbers? You know, was it not the Lord? Yes, it was the Lord. You know, it was totally because he, you know, because we walked in sin, and God, you know, God is trying to get us to, you know, turn back to his ways. You know, the ways of truth, and you know, so he causes these things to happen to us to get our attention. But in 25. Therefore, you know, he poured out his anger, you know, sin, you know, poured out his anger, you know, sin causes judgment.
Hello?
God, you know, was angry over our sin. And in his ways of trying to get our attention, you know, it was to benefit us, not to hurt us. You know, God loves us and needs us to realize that we all are in significant need of a Savior. So, you know, that was just a few scriptures I wanted to start out with. But, you know, now I'm going to go on down to the scriptures, you know, that I have for the message today. I just really felt the need to start out with the other verses first because, you know, it shows our need of God and the consequences we face for our rebellion. So, but let's get on down to Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. And, you know, I'll read it. I'll try to move along pretty fast with it. I just want people to understand, you know, what it's meaning. So just read along with me. If you have your Bibles, just follow along. But Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who have formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the rivers shall not overflow you, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. All right, we'll stop there and discuss a few of these chapters, a few of these scriptures. And we'll start in verse 1. You know, God is saying to us that you know, he knows us. He knew us before we were ever born. You know, Jeremiah 1:5 says, you know, I knew you before, you know, you was created. I knew you in the womb. You know, so God knew us before we were in our mother's belly. So, but in chapter 2, verse 2, that is, you know, God has not cast us out. You know, he may punish us, but he doesn't just, you know, throw us away. And Psalms 94:14 says, for the Lord will not, you know, cast off his people, neither will he forsake their inheritance. You know, God loves us, and he wants us, you know, he has, you know, what he has, and he punishes us to get our attention, you know, not to be mean or, you know, to forget us. You know, in verse, so as we're going in verse 2, you know, God is telling us that he is with us, you know, when we are, you know, we turn from sin, he's still with us. No matter how far off track we get, God is with us. You know, he is always telling us that no matter what, you know, trials come against us, you know, he is there, and you know, he is, he'll always have us. So no matter what fire or what trials or what rivers we may, you know, face, you know, there's no fire that can burn us, you know, no river that can overflow us and cause us to drown. You know, we can't be burnt, or nor will we drown, as long as, you know, we believe and trust in God, you know, that he's going to, you know, take care of us, and, you know, that he just has us in everything. He has us as long as we believe in him and trust in him. And we get on down to the verse 3 where it says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." He is our Lord God. You know, He is our Savior. You know, He says here that He gave Egypt for ransom, you know, to save His people, you know, from their sin. But today, the today, in living today in this world, is the we're in a new covenant. We were born in under a new covenant through Jesus Christ, you know, and God gave Jesus for ransom for all sin. You know, 1 Timothy 2:6, it says Jesus who gave Himself as ransom for all people. You know, so this new covenant through Jesus Christ and of the New Testament is for us today and for the people to come, you know, that we will find our salvation. You know, God give Jesus, you know, for us that we will have salvation today. And then in verse 6 and 7, you know, nothing can, you know, keep us back from the will of God, you know, unless, you know, if it's beyond our own will. You know, His will is to call, you know, us sons and daughters, and that's meaning us and everyone who, you know, and everyone else that, you know, He has called for His purpose. You know, He created us. He has dominion over us, you know, and we give ourselves to Him, you know, then His will can start working in our lives. But, you know, until you know, we turn ourselves over to Him and accept, you know, salvation through Jesus Christ, then, you know, God's will, you know, can't start. We have to, you know, God's put a will on our lives. It's up to us to jumpstart it, you know. We got to believe in God and, you know, just walk in His ways and, you know, His will. You know, just be under His grace, and, you know, His will can start working in our lives. I'm going to read on into verse 10 through 12 right fast before we get on to the next scripture. But in verse 10 it says, "You are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant who I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there were no gods formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you, therefore you are my witness, says the Lord. I am God." You know, God tells us here that there is no other gods and never will be. You know, He says He is our Savior, and through Jesus is, you know, where we find Him. You know, God is making it all clear as He possibly can that, you know, He is, you know, He is God, and, you know, where our salvation lays. And, you know, we start worshiping other gods and idols and believing in other things besides the one true God and where our salvation is, then, you know, we're never going to find true salvation. You know, God's plainly telling us right here, He is God, the only God, and the only God that will ever be. And that, you know, our salvation is, you know, through Him. So, and, you know, pretty much that when, you know, He says that witnesses here, you know, Jesus is going to come. Jesus is going to come and be the witness that everybody know that God is who God says He is. You know, and through Jesus, you know, He's the Savior. He's going to be the way to salvation. You know, and He's going to use, He's using Jesus, you know, to make the world known that He is God, and He will always be God and the only God. So, but, you know, we'll get on down to the next scripture, and that's going to be Isaiah 53. So if you want to turn over to Isaiah 53, and we'll start reading in verse 1. 53 verse 1. Okay, he says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and inquinity, with grief. And he hid and as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and he did not esteem him, and we did not esteem him." Esteem him, that means to glorify him. We did not, show him any glory. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed." Am I going all the way down to verse 12? That's right, verse 12. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned one another to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened his mouth not. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears in silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who also declared his generation, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit out of his mouth. Yet he pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was put to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteousness servant shall justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a proportion with a great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul into death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and made intercessions with the transgressors." That's really a powerful scripture right there, and it is talking about what Jesus is here to suffer for many people. But in verse 10, God tells us, let me get on over here. God has a much bigger plan to save the people. He is making it much easier for us to find salvation. And as I read in 1 through 12 there in Isaiah 53, verse 1, it is simply saying that, Jesus is here, praise God. Even through Jesus, it doesn't come until, the New Testament. This prophecy was given so that those of that day would, have knowledge and of their, need of salvation and where it was going to come from. Salvation is today it is through Jesus, you know. But in verse 2, in the 53 chapter of Isaiah, it says Jesus, you know, he's going to grow up, you know, and he was rejected. You know, he looks, you know, will not be, you know, amusing to men. You know, simply the Bible is saying here that in verse 2 that, you know, he will be of no beauty, that anyone should desire him. And then, and to me, and that just goes to show that the outer man is not what, you know, people should be looking at. You know, we should be looking at what's on the inside, because here it says the Bible had no, you know, that the Bible says that Jesus had no beauty about him. You know, that his love came from the inside. God had put all that love for the mankind on the inside, not on based on what he looks like. So, you know, that, and, you know, and it's not the looks, you know, like I was saying, on the outside of a person that we should be judging, you know, it's their hearts. The inside, you know, of someone can be so, you know, misleading to us, because, you know, not everybody is made of beauty. Their beauty comes from the inside. And, you know, you can't look on the, if you don't, you just got to, you got to try to get on the inside of them to find their real beauty. You know, but it down, if you go on down in verse 4, you know, it tells us what Jesus will experience during his crucifixion. And even though all the agony and suffering that Jesus is about to endure, you know, we disgraced him, you know. And, you know, when I say we, I'm meaning mankind. I'm meaning all mankind. Those of today, and, you know, people that wasn't even there and visually seen the crucifixion of Jesus. I'm talking about us today. You know, we still despise it. There's a lot of people that still despise it. They deny the crucifixion. You know, they deny that Jesus ever walked. You know, so they're still denying, you know, what Jesus was going to endure for the world. But, you know, I know, I knew, you know, we personally don't, you know, wasn't there during, you know, Jesus' death and all. But, you know, his death was, it was for the, you know, past, present, and the future. You know, so we, as mankind, you know, crucified Jesus. You know, there's just really no other way of saying it. Mankind, you know, brutally crucified Jesus, and we still do it today because of our rejection of who he is and what he did for us. But, and, you know, in verse 5, it tells us that he will be wounded for our transgressions. You know, transgressions, that's our sin. You know, against that, he is, you know, and that's still, again, the past, future, you know, the past, present, and the future. That's for all mankind. You know, he was bruised for us. He took beatings. You know, he was whipped, 39 lashes with, you know, scourgers. And, you know, that was with whips that had, like, bone fragments or, you know, splinters, metal pieces attached to the ends of the whip. And, you know, every time Jesus took one of those lashes, that's what he, you know, he took. That's the pain that he, you know, bore for our sins, you know, our transgressions. And, you know, those whips, you know, shred his, you know, back. It just, you know, they cut him. He was just shredded to pieces by those whips. And, you know, our peace was placed on him during the crucifixion, you know, and he, you know, because he took those, you know, 39 slashes, you know, and, he, you know, he was chained to a concrete barrier, so he couldn't move, you know, when he was laying there being, you know, lashed with those whips, you know, and his back, like I said, was just ripped to shreds. You know, he had a crown on his head that was, you know, just pressed down so hard on his head that blood started running, you know, down his face and into his eyes. He couldn't, you know, see. His face was all swollen and bloody, and, you know, he went through a brutal beating there. for our transgressions, for our sins. You know, he took all of that. You know, and Jesus, you know, he didn't have to go through all of that pain and that suffering. You know, he like every one of us, was freely to say, you know, no, and go hide from these people that were out to seek and kill him. He could have went and hid from them, you know, but his love that he had for us, and, you know, it was the will of, you know, his Father that, you know, he was to come to earth and go through this brutal death. So, you know, it was on Jesus' heart to do what he did was for us and to fulfill the Father's will, you know, so that each and every one of us can have this free gift of salvation through him, through his blood, through the crucifixion. So, you know, and Jesus was willingly ready to do that, no matter, you know, how bad it was going to be for him. You know, he knew what this was had in store for him, the beatings, the agony, the suffering, and all the pain that he went through. You know, even when they nailed him to the cross, you know, he was spread out on the ground, laying on top of that cross as they was nailing those nails in his hands. You can only imagine the pain that Jesus had went through for us. You know, but he did it. His love, you know, made him... It just pushed him on that, you know, he was to do what he did because of his love for us. But if you get on down in verse 6, we'll move along. On down in verse 6, you know, Jesus took our sins. We all are sinners and we all fall short every day. Romans 3:23 tells us we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, in the, if you go on into verse 12, well, no, I'm sorry. We get on into verse 7. You know, as Jesus was being lashed, he said nothing. You know, he was facing death, and he knew it. But again, his love for the people was, you know, his main objective. We were his main objective as, you know, he was enduring all this pain. You know, so we think all we can, you know, all we can just imagine the pain, you know, he was going through as he was, you know, being beaten and how humiliated, you know, he had must have been. But, you know, he did it, and he did it for us. You know, Jesus had no sin about him. The only reason found to crucify him to death was the preaching of the truth of God, you know, the Father. But, you know, the people seen him as presenting himself to be a king over the Jews, you know, but Jesus didn't deserve to suffer the way, you know, he did. But, you know, for you and I to live, it was inevitable, you know, it was necessary. Because, you know, with the blood there is no remission of sin. In Hebrews 9:22 it says, the law requires nearly everything to be cleansed with blood, but without the blood shed, there is no remission of sin. You know, and back in the Old Testament, the laws was to offer a animal for sacrifice and for the cleansing of sin. But, you know, in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, when Jesus came and he changed that law, it is now that through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ is where our salvation is. And through him, you know, is the only way that we can be saved. So, if we get on down into verse 10, it said, you know, in that verse, God is, you know, he's pleased with Jesus here for, you know, for what he did, because he, you know, he did the will of his Father. You know, Jesus' death, it pleased God for many reasons. You know, for one, he obeyed the will of God. And for two, you know, he bore every stripe, every thorn, every piercing, and, you know, every nail to save the world, you know, to save us from our sinful ways. And he now, you know, he has, you know, his son is sitting at the right hand of God. You know, Jesus is sitting right beside the God the Father in heaven, and you know, because he pleased God, you know, through this crucifixion. It was you know, he's where, you know, God wants him to be, you know, and in Jesus, he was just out about to fill, you know, the will of the Father, and that was to you know, be crucified for a world, a lost and sinful world, and God was pleased with him that he, you know, fulfilled that that will that God has sent him here to do. But in verse 11, it's everything that Jesus went through, you know, he will he'll see the suffering and the agony he endured, you know, will save many, you know, it will save many souls. And that was the will of the Father, that Jesus come here and be crucified and go through what he went through, so that many souls will be saved. And you know, Jesus will be you know, he'll be justified, he'll be glorified, because many people will, you know, come to the Father, you know, through Jesus. They will do that. And not all might not do it, but there will be many that will come to Jesus and you know, see the Father through him, just in believing what the crucifixion was meant for them, what it did for them, and how it saved them. But in verse 12, God's grace has been poured out upon Jesus simply for doing the will of his Father and boring every stripe for many sins. And he made it possible for us to have a relationship with God the Father. So, you know, that's how we get to the Father, is through Jesus. There is no other way to the Father except for by me. That's what Jesus says in the Bible, that he is the light, he is the way, and he is the truth. No one can get to the Father except through me. But now, if you will, we're going to go over to Psalms 107. Let me see. I thought I had that marked, so I'm going to have to locate it. But we're going to go over to Psalms 107. And I pray that y'all are getting something out of this. I know it's taken a little longer than any of the other messages that I have spoken here on Woman of Grace. But to me, this one, you know, it really reaches out and it gives more detail. And I'm trying to explain it to you the way, you know, that I see it in God's Word, you know, that helps me to understand it. So I pray that it's also helping you to understand, you know, what Jesus did and what he's, you know, about to do and all the things that he's going to endure just to save you and I. But if I'm going to read in Psalms 107, and 8 and 9 is where I'll be reading at, 8 and 9. Okay, it says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." There, you know, we need, this is talking about being thankful. It's being thankful to, you know, what Jesus did, what God the Father did through Jesus, you know. And we should be, you know, his love for mankind was just out of this world amazing. You know, how he sent his Son to be crucified on a cross for all mankind. You know, God has poured out his awesome love for us, and he poured it out on Jesus, and you know, Jesus has poured out his blood for us. So you know, in these scriptures here, it just needs to you know, open our eyes to be thankful for what you know, God did and what Jesus was willing to do, that we all may live and have salvation through him. But I got some verses. The next few scriptures tells us that, you know, we should be very, very thankful for what God the Father and Jesus, his Son, has done. you know, is doing and will continue to do, you know, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will continue to do as long as we, you know, put our trust in them and be thankful for what they are doing in our lives, you know, so that we can have eternal life at the right hand in heaven by, you know, sitting on the right hand of the Father. But in, and you don't have to turn to these scriptures right here. I just want to read a few of them that, you know, shows us how to be thankful, you know, for everything that, you know, Jesus has done for us, and, you know, how great God's love is for us. But in, you got 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you know, it says, well, let me flip over to these right fast. I don't actually have them wrote down, but there's a few that I'd like to read for you. Okay, that's going to be 5:18. And that says, and again, this is about being thankful for what God and Jesus has done for us. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. See, to be thankful for Jesus, you know, so that, you know, that's just a powerful scripture right there on being thanks, to giving thanks, is to be thankful and to be very thankful for everything that Jesus has done for us. And then, there's another one, 1 Chronicles 16:34. You know, and there it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. You know, when we open up and just praise God and thank God, you know, for his everlasting love through Jesus Christ, you know, that pleases God. You know, that is his will for us, is to be thankful for everything that he gives us, you know, because he gives us everything we need. You know, he provides our every need, and, you know, we should be very thankful. And in Isaiah 12:4, it says, give thanks unto the Lord, make known of what he has done to all nations, and proclaim that his name be exalted. See, we should lift up the name of the Lord and be thankful for all that he's done, you know, because without him, we have nothing. We can do nothing. We can go nowhere without him. And God will fill our needs. That's a promise, you know, from God the Father, is to fill each and every need that we have in our lives. And, you know, he's give us that, and he's give us a lot more through Jesus, who, you know, who was crucified for us. But I'll end this with, in Psalms 1, and I'm sorry, in Psalms 9:1, it says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all my heart. When we give thanks to God, the Father, you know, and the Son, Jesus, we should do it from our heart. You know, God knows our heart. He knows how pure we are. And if thanksgiving doesn't come from our heart, then, you know, it means nothing to God. He wants us to, you know, to love him, you know, as he first loved us, and to be thankful, just giving thanks and to praise and worship and glorify him, you know, and just and tell the world what all he's done for us, you know, that what he has done for us will, you know, glorify him, and it will bring people in to him, because what he's done for you, they may want him to do it for them, and he can do it for them. He will do it for them. You know, but we have to, you know, just be thankful for it, you know, for everything. Be thankful in every circumstance. Every circumstance. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, I hope that you got something out of this message today. I try to speak what, you know, God puts on my heart to say, and I try to use words that, you know, people can understand. So I hope you all understood everything that you heard here. So, but before I leave out and part away from one another, I'd like to just say another prayer. I don't often say a closing prayer, but for some reason, you know, it's on my heart to do that with you today. So if you will, I'm going to say a closing prayer. Just give me another short moment here, and I'll do that before we close out. But everybody be blessed, and be safe during the week, and just, you know, receive God's grace in your life. But until next time, have a good day. Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing me to be a vessel for you. I thank you for using me in the way that you do. And Father God, I thank you for everything here today. And I pray that they had open ears, Lord God, and an open heart as they listened to the truth of the gospel. And Father God, I pray that as we all leave and part away, that you will just put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us here, Father God. I pray that every heart be open and lifted up to you, Father God, so that your grace can enter in and change their lives forever. Father God, I praise you, we worship you, and I give you all the glory for everything that you have done and everything that you are doing. And I thank you in advance, Father God, for everything that you're going to do. And I just thank you and praise you and worship you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Everybody be blessed.